If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live. Interviews, news, and views. You're listening to State of the Nation with Timothy Shea and Brian McClain on today's News Talk, TNT.
Hello and welcome to State of the Nation. We're so pleased that you're joining us here today on today's News Talk. TNTRadio.live is our website. Head on over there, jump into that interactive live chat room. I will try to keep an eye on it today. I'm Brian McClain, broadcasting out of Central Texas, and I'm here with Timothy Shea out of New York. Timothy, welcome. Happy Monday. It's April 29, and we're ready to roll.
Welcome, welcome. Going to hit the ground running, Hush, as we always do.
Yep, absolutely. Well, let's put it in gear. President Trump shared last week that he believes the FBI stole his will. The FBI also stole 1,800 other items that were not documents that belonged to President Trump. This was not lawful or necessary. Reading from the Gateway Pundit here, it is also widely known at this point that Joe Biden, who ordered the FBI access to Trump's documents at Mar-a-Lago and President Trump's personal belongings. So on a 2-3 of the ruling, Judge Cannon revealed that it was Joe Biden who ordered the FBI access to the Mar-a-Lago documents and President Trump's personal belongings. So again, Timothy, we see one of these cases just starting to fall apart as discovery does its thing.
Well, it's even worse than this, Brian, because not only did FBI steal personal documents of the presidents that weren't properly seconded to NARA, the National Archives Records Administration, but there was a pallet full. Anybody that knows shipping knows how big a pallet is. There was a pallet full of banker's boxes that were just hanging out for a week or so. No. Guaranteed FBI didn't plant any evidence in those boxes. No, that's why they were manic in a panic looking for certain boxes at Mar-a-Lago. And then what did they do? Did they show a few boxes in a banker's box? No, they spread them all over the floor. And Brian, I have it on good authority from one of Donald Trump's attorneys that those folders that were marked confidential were empty. They were manila folders stamped confidential. FBI strewed them all over the floor and took pictures of them to indicate subliminally that, oh, he was just so haphazard and careless with these documents. They were just strewn on the floor when nothing could have been further from the truth. They were under lock and key, and the entire estate is on lockdown by Secret Service.
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me of the San Bernardino shooting event that happened back in, I don't remember what year that was, 16, 17, somewhere in that area. But the feds and law enforcement at that one, they created a crime scene in there. They inserted their own documents, and then the whole thing, they create an orgy of evidence, and then they invite media in to take pictures of it. I mean, you could not be more outside of spec of a criminal investigation than that.
But that's what they do, right? They bust down Roger Stone's door at 5 a.m. and there just coincidentally happens to be a CNN camera crew there. They plant evidence on Jeremy Brown, and they planted the grenades allegedly, but they also tried to plant a DVD inside a Red Jewel case. And fortunately for Jeremy on that count, that got tossed by the jury because that was even too much for the jury. The jury said, wait a second, there was no red CD case in any of the crime scene photos. What's this red CD case?
Yeah. Anytime you see something like this, where it's like the media have been called in advance, they are there. You see this, what I refer to as an orgy of evidence being placed out to go into public purview before an investigation can even begin. That is one of the biggest red flags you could possibly hope to not come by, but we still just keep coming by these.
And watch child porn being found on Barron Trump's iPhone in 3, 2.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And real quickly, did you see the Trump derangement syndrome happen to the New Yorker? I think he was from New York in Florida. He keyed a woman's car because she had a Let's Go Brandon sticker on it.
Yes.
And Florida police did not like that, did they?
No, they did not. He picked the wrong jurisdiction.
Yeah, very, very wrong jurisdiction, because he ended up getting arrested. A spoiler alert, if you haven't seen this film yet, dude gets arrested. And that's how that goes.
My favorite video of the weekend, though, was the allegedly grown man being picked up and hog carried by a deputy while he's whining and protesting and screaming. And Ted Cruz retweeted that video today and said, biggest toddler I've ever seen. Because that's exactly what all this is. It's the toddler temper tantrum. I've been saying that for months, Hesh.
All right. Well, hey, why not give TNT a follow? We're on all the major social platforms, so you can find us on Facebook, X.com, Instagram, Gab, and Gitter. So get on over there, follow us on all those, share our stuff, in particular our X account. We'd really like the amplification there. So help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk.
Clashing on the controversies.
It's a woke society, and I am fed up with it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
It is a woke society, and we're fed up with it, too. So, you know, Joe Biden made an appearance on a show that, does anyone watch or listen to Howard Stern anymore? I mean, gosh, I didn't even know he was out there. Last time I thought about Howard Stern, I was watching one of his former employees beat someone up in a car and get arrested. But Joe Biden decided he would go hang out at Howard Stern's studio, which surprisingly is still there. And joining us now is the host of the Lunch Hour podcast and, of course, co-host of Andrew and Jerry Save the World, Andrew Langer. Andrew, what do you think about this tactic? Was that you that said the Baba Booey vote? That cracked
exactly
me up.
Right. As goes the Baba Booey vote, so goes the rest of the nation there, Brian. Yeah, this was a little strange, and it was strange for a lot of reasons. Listen, we know, besides the fact that Howard Stern somehow has completely resuscitated his image, right? I think doing a stint where you live in fear in your home, you know, for 2 years during the pandemic, that'll do it for you. Stern has a reputation for being a good interviewer. That certainly was not in evidence with this interview, which was full of softball questions, right? That's why Joe Biden did it, because he knew he was going to get softball questions. He knew the president was going to fawn all over him. He knew that Howard Stern was going to fawn all over him. And in the end, right, he knew that Howard Stern was not going to challenge him on the more than a half dozen whopper of lies that he told while he was sitting there having this interview. I mean, the man lies constantly, and there was no way that Howard Stern was going to call him on it.
Yeah, yeah. Howard, I'm sure he had to wing him all those questions ahead of time. I'm sure they were all practically scripted at this point. And you know, shame on who was that? The New York Times also, the way that they did the write-up on there, you know, you can tell what they're doing right there. They're going for the emotional, they're going for the, oh, tell us how hard your life has been sort of thing. Just giving him the big opening for all of his most famous hits, his greatest hits of lies and fabrications.
You know, it's like, so how hard your life has been that you've had women sending you salacious pictures of yourself that you then apparently turned over for whatever reason to the Secret Service, which is a very odd lie to tell, obviously, because he wasn't getting Secret Service protection. I mean, all in all, right, you hit the nail on the head at the beginning. It's the story is not, you know, it's not about how many Howard Stern listeners Joe Biden can turn over or going after, as I joked about the important Baba Booey vote. It was really about the earned media that he would get from doing this. So he sits down with Howard Stern, this formerly controversial figure who has essentially gelded himself over the years as a way of ingratiating himself to a whole host of people. And, you know, it's funny you said that. I couldn't tell you the last time I listened to Howard Stern, probably around the time that he and Gilbert Gottfried had their sort of bizarre separation. And I listen, when mom and dad got divorced, I went with the Gilbert Gottfried side of things. I did not stay with Howard Stern. Yes.
Yeah, I'm on the Whack Pack side.
Yes.
Yeah, I was always much more of an Imus fan than a Howard Stern fan. I would see clips on YouTube and it was like watching a train wreck you didn't want to watch, but you couldn't tear yourself away. But I think you guys are being really unfair to Joe. I mean, when he was my foreman and we were digging uranium out of a nuclear coal mine there in Scranton, Pennsylvania, I clearly remember him telling me that if you can't tell the truth, make sure it's interesting so the media will always give you good coverage.
You know, and it's interesting you say that, Tim, because in the end, right, I mean, it would be one thing if they were interesting lies, right? Listen, we all know Donald Trump can spin a whopper, but at least Donald Trump has got the P.T. Barnum Carney gene in him to make it so that you want to watch. Joe Biden, on the other hand, I mean, you know, all these kids, they were fascinated by the blonde hair on my legs, you know, as I'm fighting off drug gangs and standing on people's porches while at the same time not telling them that I'm gonna you know, defend segregation in schools down the road. I mean, again, at least the Donald Trump lies are interesting. You know, Joe Biden's are tired and thread-worn in the same way the man is.
I think you're exactly right. He went to the Hillary Clinton, I was named for Sir Edmund Hillary, who climbed Mount Everest 6 years after I was born, school of lies.
Yes, I was named for an obscure beekeeper who hadn't done anything yet, but my parents knew. They knew what was going to happen. They were that clairvoyant. Listen, guys, yes. Let me pivot for a second. I'm sorry to hijack this, but you guys were talking about double standards before. And I don't know if you've seen this story that has come out about the U.S. Postal Service. Woman pled guilty on Friday in California to defrauding the Postal Service of $150 million in fake postage. And this in and of itself is not interesting. Well, the interesting thing about it is that they've had this woman on their radar since 2018. And one wonders why they couldn't have convicted her, oh, I don't know, when maybe it was only a $50 million crime instead of a $150 million crime. And the answer to me, of course, is, well, maybe if the U.S. Postal Service wasn't spending their time and efforts spying on Americans as they were doing in 2021, you know, let's remember that the Postal Service had a program where they were spying on American social media in 2021, maybe they might have the opportunity to actually go and investigate people who are defrauding the government of not tens of millions, but hundreds of millions of dollars.
That's a really good point. You know, we see so much bloat like this, and it's like all of a sudden, oh, we're going to bring this case up now, or all of a sudden, oh, this is the biggest thing right now. No. It's like, wait a minute, you haven't your job.
Yeah, it's very simple. Guess who trained UPS or USPS in this kind of surveillance? It was FBI, and you're only supposed to have people on your watch list. You're never supposed to arrest them. You only have them on the watch list. So when the crime is finally exposed, you go, oh yeah, we knew about this person. We were keeping an eye.
Yes, we had our eyes peeled. Unless, of course, they're, you know, elderly fathers who are defending their 12-year-old sons in front of abortion clinics. And then we use the full weight and power of the federal government against us. It's a situation in which you talk about that story and the double tiers or the multiple tiers that are here. You look at what happened over the weekend with USC. I don't know if you guys were tracking with this at all. So USC canceled their graduation. And there was this USC senior who went on TikTok and said, you know something? This is not the first time I've had a graduation canceled. My graduation was canceled in 2020. And I spent a lot of time talking about that context on the air on Friday. USC then turns around, double downs on it, and sends out an email. This is no joke. I'm not exaggerating this. They send an email out to their graduating class saying, hey, by the way, we know some of you have never had a graduation before, so we're going to send you pictures of prior USC graduations so you can see how joyful these experiences are. That's, again, not a joke, not exaggerating. That is almost verbatim what the email said.
Oh, my gosh.
You can't make this up.
No, you can't.
When that story broke, you know who I immediately felt for? The poor schmuck parents who shelled out $250,000 and all they wanted was a picture of Johnny or Janie in his or her gown, getting the diploma and afterward with the beaming parents. That's who I felt for.
Tim, it's funny. We've got my older child's graduation in just over a week from their college. And thankfully, they have a job after graduation that I'm very proud of. And I'm very excited because I've got a new seersucker suit jacket that I'm going to wear. I'm going to get dude'd up because I want to take some nice pictures here. That's exactly it. I would be aghast if that happened. And I know it was supposed to be over the weekend. My wife made a really good suggestion. These students, listen, kids, if colleges cancel your graduation, do it anyway, right? Yeah. Have your march, get together and do it anyway. Don't let these entitled little infants on these college campuses keep you from doing that.
Amen. Yeah, well, they should have done that in 2020 as well. My nephew missed his graduation, and you know, I feel terrible for the young people that are missing proms and graduations. But at the same time, I also feel terrible for the kids that didn't even get to go to college because their parents' business was shut down in 2020. Yeah. You know, it's a nasty web that has been spun.
Or the kid like one of my friends who was the number one receiver on a Florida state football championship team. You know, they've got like up to 16A now, I think it is. It's ridiculous how many divisions they have, but didn't get a D1 scholarship because there was no senior season to look at film from. Right. So it's not just the proms and the graduations. It's all those senior seasons that got canceled. Both the spring semester and the next year's class for the fall sports.
We are going to be seeing the repercussions of the lockdowns for years to come, to say the least.
A generation.
What USC did, what these other colleges are doing, is just adding insult to injury.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Andrew, we're out of time. At Andrew_Langer on X.com and good social media. And, of course, check out the show. He'd love to see you over there. At the Andrew and Jerry Save the World show. And of course, the Lunch Hour podcast. Andrew, anything you got to throw us before we let you go?
Nope. Baba Booey, gents. Take care.
All right. That Baba Booey vote, I don't know how big it is. Thanks, Andrew. This is State of the Nation on today's News Talk, TNT.
TNT's James Freeman.
Proposals to construct a global censorship and information control operation led by the WHO have also been dropped. Thank God for that. What the hell has the WHO got to do with censoring online information? Provisions proposed to expand the scope of the IHR to include all risks with potential to impact public health, including climate change and food supply. Well, they have also been deleted. The scope now remains essentially unchanged, which is all about the spread of disease.
James Freeman on today's News Talk, TNT.
In a democracy, the majority vote rules. But in most democracies, you can only vote for change every 3 or 4 years. To understand what people want, governments and political parties use focus groups. These focus groups can include as little as 20 people. Australia is a country of over 25 million people. Does making decisions based on 20 people sound fair to you? Have your say. Be heard in between elections. Download the For My Say app now. That is number 4, My Say.
The human mind is like a computer. No matter how efficient it may be, its reliability is only as great as the information fed into it.
That's a campaign promise.
Tell us the truth. Tell us the truth.
We mandate that the truth be told.
You're hearing it.
TNT.
After my beloved Empire State, one of the states that gets the worst deal in American media is, of course, California. There's a lot of great conservatives in California, and we have one right now. Mike Netter, vice chair of Rebuild California. Go to rebuildcalifornia.com for more information and follow him on X. He's got an amazing X feed at Netter Mike. That's NETTERMIKE. Welcome back to State of the Nation, Mike Netter.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Timothy, but I got to tell you, I kind of resent being number two in communism. We have moved ahead of New York. Let's be real here. It's getting to be not even close. And we have a new scheme involved that I think we're going to talk about today that's quite fascinating, which I would like to add is going to be my new retirement plan.
Oh, because I've got a couple retirement plans. I'm going to be starting an NGO. Brian and I are going to start an NGO and make bank off that. And then, you know, we've also got Doom Scroll and Donuts we want to syndicate. So what's your new retirement plan?
Well, you know, before, as you know, as I've discussed on the air, I was going to go over the border, come back over the border, claim asylum from California, but that involved travel. After the show, I plan on going out and just getting arrested, not convicted, just arrested, and then suing Los Angeles County for $5 million. Because apparently you can't even arrest anybody anymore, accuse them of a lot of things. So I may register for the Democratic Party after this just for a while, don't get too paranoid, and see if I can get arrested on something, then just charge for just a little bit. I'm going to make it easy. I don't want my doors knocked down. I'm going to open my home, let them come in and look for stuff, and then I can sue them and probably happily retire, because that seems to be what the new mode is, doesn't it?
Mike, I'm going to make it even easier for you. You don't even have to get arrested. All you have to do is be at the scene of an arrest and you can make bank. There was a failed teacher, a guy who couldn't, he's a martial arts instructor, but he couldn't pass the exam to be a school teacher. But he was there when the Derek Chauvin was trying to subdue our good friend up in Minneapolis, whose name I'm not going to give even more oxygen to. And Derek Chauvin, in the middle of the arrest, pointed a can of mace at this guy because the guy was menacing Chauvin. So Chauvin's trying to arrest our perpetrator, and this guy's menacing him. Chauvin reaches in, grabs his non-lethal pepper spray and points it at the guy, telling him to back off, puts it back, puts the canister back. The guy just got a massive payout because his widow feelings were hurt. A martial arts instructor was threatened and psychologically damaged, Mike. So you don't even need to get a criminal record in order to make bank these days.
All those plans involve leaving the house. I mean, I could go to my plan C, which is rioting and pillaging in Seattle, and they got like $10 million for that. I mean, look, Timothy, I got to be honest with you, and Brian, I've been on a lot of camping trips before, and if I could camp out for about a month with absolutely no officers around, do what I want, and get any chunk of $10 million, please, TNT listeners, sign me up, because I think that's a great deal. And that's kind of what it's come to today when we talk about lawfare. We talk about lawfare versus President Trump, but it seems that the left has learned how to use the lawfare against us based on the deep pockets of government, who are basically, this is shocking, too chicken to speak up or defend against anything. And although we're not here to talk about all these protests today, I pumped up for this segment here by watching Ronald Reagan and what he said against the protesters back in the late 60s, where he basically said, beep, 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 up your posterior, and we're not going to take it. But we don't have government standing up for anything anymore, no less defending themselves when they're accused of anything. They just open and take our money and give it to whoever happens to accuse them of anything.
You know, Mike, your plan is it's pretty brilliant. I've been tracking this other people's plans, and I've noticed that in California and a couple other states, we end up with biological males who then are arrested and imprisoned and then identify as females and then are switched to a women's prison. And then they have a scheme called the $1 million baby scheme, where they will impregnate a woman there, and then the woman will sue the prison system, generally get $1 million, and split it with her co-conspirator, if you will. So that has gone wide, but your plan doesn't even involve you having to go get locked up. So, I mean, you should write a book about this, I think.
Yeah, I know they're stepping it up a notch from just the prisoner stealing from EDD in 2020. I mean, that was smart. They could get mailed checks, but now they keep upping their game. And of course, what we're driving to, for those of you out there scratch your head going, what are these guys talking about? What we're talking about is Eugene Yu. Yes, indeed, a guy named Yu is taking money from you and me. And this goes back to, I believe, 2022. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm partially senile. When kind of sum it up, a gentleman named Yu, who runs a company called Comec, is that the correct way to say it? I think I'm pretty close here. They're actually started as a hardware company back in 2001 and got awarded a really big contract for a few counties, including Los Angeles County, to manage, in effect, human resources software, meaning their only job was to kind of keep track of all these election workers and kind of keep it secret due to HR confidentiality, etc. Well, oddly enough, a group called True the Vote said, hey, something's wrong here. It looks like a guy named you, what are the odds, are sharing these files with a country named China, what are the odds, and this shouldn't be done. Now, the amazing part of this story, which we continually get excited here on the right, is that we go, all right, George Gascon, that left wing, is immediately prosecuting him, and True the Vote is going to court and having their day in court, and that melted down fairly quickly. And of course, the press made sure to have lots of pictures of Eugene Yu in handcuffs being carried out and his house being raided. Now, where's the part that I'm really struggling with? So, if
we're going to have to leave it right there because we got a headline incoming, Mike, but let us know the part you're struggling with right after this news from today's News Talk, TNT.
Big news?
We do have some big news.
TNT Radio News.
Big news.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Humza Yousaf, the Scottish First Minister, known for his far-left policies and controversial statements on race, announced his resignation, citing a desire to uphold his values over clinging to power. Iraq's parliament has passed a stringent law that bans same-sex relations and transgender practices, imposing severe prison sentences for related offenses. This new legislation has been heavily criticized by international entities such as the U.S. and U.K.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's News Talk. This is TNT Radio.
So, Mike, out of all these schemes of getting rich off the taxpayer, some involving getting arrested, others going to prison, others merely being in the right place at the right time at the scene of a crime, something's giving you pause. And what is that?
Well, let's talk about, first off, understand that Eugene Yu, after he got carried off and the charges dropped, and he was charged fairly quickly, I, of course, used my super sleuth tool, which I shouldn't reveal on the air, called Google. And when you look up Comac, it's a very interesting company because they barely were in existence as a hardware company, landed a software contract for human resources management in Los Angeles. Fast forward, the charges get dropped. Eugene Yu turns around and sues Los Angeles County for, we don't know how much, but he's getting awarded $5 million, which of course they awarded behind closed doors. Now, his main crux of his lawsuit was that I've lost close to $60 million in business, which I found rather bizarre for a company that has annual revenues of about $4 million. So apparently their best sales guy quit. They employ like six people. So this is a very tiny company, but it's very strange they landed a very large contract. Pretty easy to vet and research. So Eugene Yu just got awarded the equivalent of about 2.5 to 3 years of his entire revenue for this software company. And of course, because, well, we don't believe in transparency in government, how silly, they made this award behind closed doors at the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors. Due diligence would seem to me, one, was there any grounds to have been charged to begin with? And he was charged relatively quickly. Second off, how do you award $5 million for supposedly $60 million in lost business in about 2.5 years to a company that basically has less revenues than pretty much the dry cleaners in California down the block from me? It absolutely makes no sense. And I really do believe that this is going to be what you're seeing with another case right now, which is Diana Taran, which you gentlemen may not be following, where she is an assistant of Gascon. She's his number one aide. And Rob Bonta, who basically makes communist China look conservative, the attorney general in California, charged her out of the clear blue sky with 11 counts of all kinds of things for work she did 3 or 4 years ago in a year where Gascon's up for election. And as the old song goes, things that make you go, why would she be charged now in an election year by the very party that Gascon belongs to? I'm referring, of course, to the Democrats, Socialists of America. Very, very strange. But then the light went on in my head, which in itself is a news story, a breaking news, that with what you settled for, that she's going to get her charges dropped, probably sue for a considerable amount of money, get awarded this amount of money, and I believe this is the left's new funding or retirement plan to tap into our tax dollars. And I'm not being facetious when I say that, because I think they're seeing from the BLM awards, the beep, beep, beep award that you talk about from Minneapolis, that these counties and cities given fairly easily on very large amounts of money. In fact, LA County, who made the U award and where Diana Taran is being charged right now, already has in their $44 billion, that's with the B boys and girls budget this year, $3 billion with a B set aside to settle lawsuits. So Timothy and Brian, I don't think all three of us need a heck of a lot of that $3 billion to live a fine life.
Well, I mean, if you're trying to tempt me to move back to California, Mike, you're doing the best job you've done yet in all of our conversations. But I don't know. I feel like if I was to show up there and get hooked up for something, then I might not get the giant award. I'm afraid I've been on social media and microphones too long to help them launder their money back into the DNC. Do you think that's what's going to happen with some of these people, like her in particular? Through this drama, get a bunch of money, redonate back to DNC.
Oh my God, what are the odds?
Well,
of that?
I can tell you how you can identify somebody that doesn't kick it back, and that's the next single car accident that you see. The single car fatal accident. Somebody's going to drive through a railing on the PCH or drive into one of the La Brea tar pits or something of that nature. And then it's going to turn out that they didn't kick back. But, you know, everything is so absurd, but there is something going on in California, here in New York and other leftist states that's really troubling, gentlemen. And that's the rollback of mandatory child abuse reporting laws. Mike, you had a great tweet about that just about an hour ago. Why don't you inform us of what that issue is?
So I don't know if you're right or left listening to this or where you are, but who the hell wouldn't want to protect the kids? I mean, we're fighting this in California with initiative right now. And the tweet I just put out was this, is that the left is basically saying, look, you know, looks like it's people of color abusing kids, beating their children. They have an abnormally high rate of this happening. And so why don't we just abandon the system basically altogether or not improve it for child abuse? On a serious note, how disgusting, absolutely disgusting is it that people on the left and the Democrats in California, and they've already started this in Colorado, as you know, simply say, look, these poor criminals, and if I hear another thing about criminal justice, I probably will get arrested and probably won't be let out for quite a long. Well, I take that back. It's Los Angeles. Felony might get me 90 days. But the reality is, where in God's green earth do you not want to protect children? When there's child abuse, this affects you in trafficking too. Child abuse obviously falls into human trafficking. There's tons of stories on it. No one is for it, allegedly, except it, again, is a big business. And this, again, sets up, we talk about lawsuits, Timothy and Brian, that's where it comes down to. Because when they don't have these laws for reporting and it's not mandatory reporting, and I see something and I say something, they look for a deep pocket, people get sued. It's absolutely 100% disgusting. And this is where, as a society, not Trump versus Biden, really need to start drawing a line. Kids, human trafficking, the treatment of women, period. We need to say enough is enough and stop backing groups and laws that don't allow us to enforce the things which should protect the children and all genders, but especially what's happening around the world, women. That's a whole other segment. But it absolutely makes
it is. And we're going to have to leave it there. I'll just note that my good friend in Boston, Howie Carr, made a living at the Boston Herald and at WRKO Talk Radio, mocking the Democrats for doing everything outlandish for the children, as he put it. Well, the Democrats are doing everything for the children now, but just like that episode of The Twilight Zone where they found out that the book To Serve Man ended up being a cookbook, I don't think the children are going to want what the Democrats have in store for them. Mike Netter, thanks for another great segment. Follow him on X at Netter Mike and go to rebuildcalifornia.com and check out all the great work they're doing there. We've got more State of the Nation right here.
Subscribe to my new newsletter.
Quickly tell them about the newsletter.
So we're putting out a newsletter 3 times a week. It's free to subscribe to. It's best tweets and some additional stories where I can go a little bit deep so I don't get kicked off social media. So,
and how do they sign up for that?
They simply go to the top of my Twitter feed, and you can use your finger or your thumb. It's your option. Hit click, type in your name, and you're subscribed. It's pretty easy, Timothy.
Outstanding. Go to Netter Mike on X and subscribe to that newsletter. You're listening to State of the Nation here on today's News Talk, TNT.
I said, could she die? And the doctor said she could. It was so scary.
When I started clawing at my neck and trying to breathe, and I thought, you know, what are we going to do if I die here? How's everyone going to go on?
When someone's gravely sick or injured in the bush, they rely on the Royal Flying Doctor Service. But now the Flying Doctor needs your help to fund vital medical equipment and supplies. Please search Flying Doctor online to give a regular gift of just $10. You can help equip the Flying Doctor's teams to respond to any emergency anywhere. Search Flying Doctor online. Become a part of the Royal Flying Doctor Service and help save lives in the bush.
Our beautiful world is changing, withering, dying by the hands of those who don't value nature, even though we all depend on it for life itself. But there is hope. Together with caring friends, the Nature Conservancy can restore our lands and save our wildlife with big solutions only nature can provide. To learn more, visit nature.org today.
The conversation continues with State of the Nation's Brian McLean and Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT.
All right, joining us now is our friend and colleague, Joe Hoft. Of course, joehoft.com is his website. And Joe and his brother, they do Gateway Pundit, and so many great things come out of Gateway Pundit. But Gateway Pundit has been under massive attack for some time now. Apparently, the keepers of the narrative here in the United States do not like a journalistic website that is tracking and logging all of the transgressions that have happened in elections, in power politics, to do with January 6th, to do with COVID, so many things. So joining us now, Joe Hoft. Joe, welcome back to State of the Nation. Give us an update. What's going on over at Gateway Pundit this week?
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Great seeing you again. Gateway Pundit, was founded by my brother Jim back around 2004. One of the first websites out there. There was a few, Instapundit and Michelle Malkin had a couple sites, Hot Air, and then Breitbart had one in Western Journal. And now there's a lot of websites, right? And but it grew during the years and was a big force in the 2016 election, right before that. And really, Jim, in large part by himself, I was writing from Hong Kong, just one article a week or so, or a day, as we loved Trump and we were really pushing that guy on over Hillary. We couldn't stand Hillary. And so it got really, really powerful, I think, then during the next 4 or 5 years. In 2020, I joined full time after being targeted by Media Matters for writing a report on COVID while I was over in Hong Kong. I determined that COVID is not going to be like the like they're saying, the Spanish flu. It's going to be closer to something like the flu. And I was right, and I got targeted by Media Matters. I ended up coming back to the States after a week or so of or a month or so of deliberations with the company I worked at. So then I started working for Jim full time. We built that site from 500,000 to about 5 million hits a day after the election. So we were really a force. And one of the, think about that, really almost two out of every Americans were coming to the Gateway Pundit daily. And that's too much truth for the deep state, the corrupt censorship complex, the corrupt Democrats, corrupt Republicans, and they'd had enough. So we got sued a couple times. Jim's been sued by a guy by the name of Eric Coomer and the Gateway Pundit as well out in Colorado after the 2020 election, and he for defamation. And then Jim was Jim, myself, and the Gateway Pundit were sued by the mother-daughter team in Georgia, Ruby Freeman and her daughter, Shay Moss, who were a couple of the election employees who stuck around after the, at first there was reported this water main break, et cetera. So they're suing us, but they're backed by, in Ruby and Shay's case, Protect Democracy, which is one of these nonprofit lefty sites. That's a bunch of former Barack Obama attorneys from the White House, the Obama White House. They formed this right after they left Obama's years. And they are backing Ruby and Shay along with Yale Law School, along with a couple other entities. And so it's I don't know how many hundreds of attorneys are, on their side backing Ruby and Shay, who are complaining that we defamed them. And quite frankly, we believe all we did is reported the truth. And there was video that came out from that night, as you recall, about a month later. And we saw all this shenanigans happening in that Fulton County Center. So it's a lot of pressure on the Gateway Pundit. And because of that, based on discussions with attorneys, et cetera, the Gateway Pundit was put into a bankruptcy last week. And maybe you guys noticed the mainstream media jumped right on and started calling Gateway Pundit conspiracy and all that. After all we've done is talk the truth about the election, the truth about COVID, the truth about the vaxes, truth about January 6th, the truth about Trump, the truth about Hillary, the truth about Obama, the truth about, you know, Mueller gang, goes on and on and on. And that's why we grew. And that's why we're growing. And that's why they need to take us down. It's just, you get too much truth and they don't want you.
Well, you see, your real sin, Jim, was posting the videos, right? So they say a picture is worth 1,000 words, but a video will tell an entire narrative, right? So we saw Ruby and Shay Moss pull out the ballots from the suitcases underneath the cloth-covered tables. We found out that water main break was a leaky valve in a men's room urinal. There was a puddle on the floor. That was the water main break. We saw the Republicans, like good little boys and girls, like they always do. They followed the rules. And the Democrats, you know, quickly banged a U.E. and went right back to counting votes. And we saw Ruby's daughter putting those ballots through the machine 4 or 5 times. And you see, you posted the video. So it wasn't just that you reported the truth. No. It's that you showed the truth. And that's the real sin.
Right. Well, that's right. And even more than that, we even found a video from earlier in the day on November 3rd, 2020 in Fulton County, where this guy walks over to that same place where they hid these ballots underneath the table, lifts up the skirt and sees the ballots down there in boxes and raises his hands like, yes, you know, And so they knew they were down there. They knew what was going on. And, you know, ironically, somehow they manufactured a couple hundred thousand ballots for Joe Biden to steal the election in Georgia in 2020. I believe personally there's probably a million ballots in that state that were manufactured for Biden. It was outrageous what happened that day.
Yeah, it really was. So what is clearly you're experiencing lawfare here. I will just go right out and say that. But how can they claim defamation? Did you guys do, is there anything in the way that you reported facts that they're calling defamation specifically, or is this just under the umbrella of election deniers equals defamation of anyone who points it out?
Well, it's really both, Brian. So the initial filing, when we received it, it listed about 16 articles that they had a problem with. And so, you know, we look back and it's like, you know, that's the truth. You don't like the fact that we've got the video here from Rudy and we spent a weekend going through it and we were able to validate, hey, look at this series here where Ruby, the mother, shoves ballots through three times. That's a problem because we spent some time looking at it and found this. So no, we don't believe that there's anything there that we reported that was not right. There was no intent to hurt these people. Our intent was to share the truth with the American people. Here's what happened that night. And that's what we've always tried to do. It's just, here's the truth. You know, you be the judge. Here's the evidence right in front of you.
Yeah. And you're doing it in a journalistic paradigm. You're using journalistic practices. You're checking sources. You're taking the time. You're not just taking random conspiracy theories off the interwebs and uploading them. So, I mean, is this in...
Brian, I got to tell you, I'll just jump in here. Some of the stuff we did is so far beyond what any other media outlet's doing. We used AI back in 2020 to validate that was Ruby Freeman, the mother. We validated that through AI. Nobody was doing that at that time. We did that. That's how sophisticated we were. When we looked at this video and we saw Ruby doing it three times, that was done by a senior level at a major, major firm who's absolutely a genius with IT. These were not underlings that were entry-level journalists like you see in the mainstream media. These were really sharp people. When I wrote stuff, I did that based on my knowledge, my experience for 20, 30 years in the auditing profession, having reached senior levels around the world, doing audits around the world. Everything we did was at a professional level that they never had to flew on. So they sue us and they start finding this out. And I'm sure it's got them freaked out because they know that this wasn't a bunch of little kids doing this. This was some major league professionals that were so far advanced. We were using AI back in 2020. And that's the kind of, you know, so that's how I feel about it. It's like we were on top of this better than anybody. And we don't want to put out stuff that's false. You know, we don't want to do that. And, you know, we get these accusations from mainstream media. Oh, you just want to make money. It's just so disgusting what these people will say. And they call us conspiracy after pushing Mueller gang and after pushing the COVID and masks and shut down companies and destroy people's lives and fear monger people into taking the vax. And then the 2020 election, Joe Biden's not a senile old man that can't even make it to the bathroom in the middle of the night by himself. I mean, come on. You know, we all know the truth. That's their problem. We're reporting what we see. They're telling us, don't trust what you see. And that's the big conflict all of us have. Trust them or trust us. Trust your own eyes. And that's all it is. Yeah. That's it.
And TGP was always a trusted site by me. I check it several times a day. Because your other big sin, in addition to showing what they were doing, not just telling, you would link to the original sources. If there was a Mueller report, if there was a order by a court, if there was something where there was an official document, you would link right to it and people could read for themselves. And that is just not tolerated in the world where the media needs to filter everything and shape how you think about things.
That's right. It's a brave new world, isn't it? In this complex world, they do not want the truth out there. They being whoever this is that's running our media and our deep state and our country and everything else. It takes a lot of courage to stand up and do this. And that's who they're going after. And that's what they want. They want to scare people into not sharing the truth anymore. Oh, go hide in the corner. And fortunately, I think most Americans are like, screw you, you know, and people from, you know, in the Western world, screw you. We're going to share the truth. And it doesn't matter what you say. The truth is the truth. And yeah, but all of this takes a lot of money. And also, you're fighting some, you know, a massive, massive effort to take down us, to take down, you know, Rudy Giuliani, Roger Stone. Roger Stone's had 11 cases still against him from January 6th. He wasn't even there. I mean, yeah. You know, Trump, we're seeing Trump, false crimes. It's made up. We found out over the weekend that Trump was set up in Mar-a-Lago. They find out based on some documents that the DOJ and working with the Biden White House and the National Archives sent a palette of documents to Trump's Mar-a-Lago. They show up a couple months later, say, oh, you've got classified documents here. It's from the same batch that they sent to him. And then they take that and say he committed a crime for having classified docs. They set him up. This is the world we live in now. These people are sick. That's why we do need strong people to get out there and share the truth. You know,
well, we also need some reform to our legal system. OK, I've always been an opponent of loser pays. A lot of countries have the loser pay. So if you bring a lawsuit and you lose, you pay. Or if you get sued and you lose, you have to pay. Right. You have not only the verdict damages, but the court costs and the other side's attorney's fees. And I've after consideration, thought that maybe isn't the best way to go because it would have a chilling effect on legislation such as class action lawsuits against major pharmaceutical companies, against major chemical companies, et cetera. However, that said, I do believe we need legal reform that if the government prosecutes you and it is proven that you were a victim of evidence planting, evidence tampering, jury tampering, any shenanigans by the government, that not only should there be punitive damages, but that all of your legal fees be paid. Because this is what the government does. They come in, they overcharge you with ridiculous allegations. You have to bankrupt yourself. If you're lucky enough to have a house and to have a 401k and to have some money set aside for retirement, they take all that. And then at the end, oh, okay, we lost the case and you're left impoverished. So you lose either way. I think we need the reform to the extent that if the government overextends, if they overplay their hand, that a citizen needs to be able to recover from that.
Yeah, you're right, Tim. But, you know, we also need fair judges. I mean, it's almost as if in courts, if, you know, you could be absolutely innocent. Like Sidney Powell had 3 out of 4 cases after the 2020 election where she had more than enough evidence to suggest that we need to look into this, more than enough. Rudy as well, in front of the legislatures. The problem was she ran in front of 3 out of her 4 judges were Obama judges. Problem with Rudy is he said in every single state that he went to out of these 4 or 5 states, there was at least 2 or 3 Republicans in name only who weren't going to do anything. And so, you know, we need to get good people into politics that are going to stand up and be honest, not these liars that run as Republicans and aren't Republicans. But so that we can get real judges in there, too. We've got a crisis in America and we need to fix it. I think I read a piece earlier. Somebody said something like, it isn't that many people that are in the government that are part of the Soros gang and the World Economic Forum. It's really not that many. We need to stop, you know, allowing them to separate us. We need to get together and stand up to these guys because we are the absolute major majority. I thoroughly believe it. And there's no way that we should be putting up with this. It's just so outrageous, especially in the U.S. I'm sorry, guys. I grew up, I'd never seen anything like this in my life. We're in real dangerous territory right now. I mentioned this. I was on a radio show this morning. I tell you what, our FBI and DOJ, hearing about them setting up Trump and Mar-a-Lago and all they're doing to him since Mueller, it's when are we going to realize that our DOJ and FBI right now is as bad as, and somebody said even worse to me today, as bad as any Nazi and communist police force that out there in history. These people are setting us up and targeting us. Now, this case that we're in is a civil case with the TGP and myself and Jim's in. Those are civil cases. But still, you've got corrupt judges, and you get the wrong judge, and you're done. And that isn't the way it should be. All judges should be fair. So we got a lot of work to do, but we need to stand up against these monsters for sure. It's outrageous what's going on.
Yeah, exactly, Joe. We got about a minute left, and I think the question rattling in many people's brains right now is, how do I help? How do people help? We don't want to see the Gateway Pundit go bankrupt. We want to see you come out the other side. Is there any way people can help?
Well, Gateway Pundit does have a site out there. On the site, there's a place where you can donate if you want. I'm not sure. I suppose if there's going to be a real need for legal help, Jim will put something up and request that. Right now, I think we're going to be okay. We've even had a multimillionaire billionaire reach out over the weekend and offer to help in some way, too. So we've got some help. People know that it's important to have a free and fair Gateway Pundit out there. So we're going to keep charging ahead.
All right. Good. Thanks for that, Joe. Thanks for the update. Best of luck to you, your brother, all your colleagues over there at TGP. We used one of their stories this morning for the launch for the show, so we certainly appreciate what you guys do over there and appreciate your time. And again, go to joehoff.com for all things Joe Hoft. And thanks, Joe. We'll see you next time here on State of the Nation.
Yep. That's right. All right. I'll be back in an hour. So,
okay. Excellent. So stay tuned, and stay tuned for more State of the Nation on TNT.